This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, Bismillah. So here's a question about some insecurity before getting married. So I'll just summarize it and I'll, you know, just take a few things that people are always feeling, you know, unsure. And this is normally like when you're going to move into a new phase of your life, whether it be like you're leaving high school to go to university, you're moving from one city to go to another, you're starting a new job, you're getting married, your wife's expecting. You know, these are all phases of our lives that we go through. So there's always going to be a feeling of insecurity, a feeling that I'm not ready yet. You know, a feeling that I don't think that this is the best thing for me right now. I'm a bit scared, you know. Am I really going to do this well? Like I'm starting at a new job, you know. Am I going to be someone that is able to handle the pressure of that new job, etc., etc. So this is normal, and that's the first thing. The second thing is that you have to strive to do your best in everything that you do, right? Whether you're starting a new job, new school, whatever it might be, you're getting married, like the question says, you should not be so concerned about what people are going to think or about any insecurities that you might have. Focus instead on those things that are within the sphere of your influence. What you can work on, what you can get better at, what you can bring to the table. Those are the things that you need to focus on. In marriage, it needs to be about what is most pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do I need to do to become the best spouse possible? What can I do to make our situation better? What can I do to minimize the issues and the negativity? That's what you need to focus on. That's the only thing that you can do. You cannot be responsible for your husband or your wife losing their job, or for your husband's bad mood at the end of the day, or your wife's bad mood. But what you can be is that you can be supportive, that you can be patient, you can be forbearing, you can be the most supportive spouse possible, right? You can, at certain times, you know, neglect some of your own rights, just, you know, and sacrifice them for the sake of your spouse. But let me warn you about something before I continue, that not at the expense of your happiness, only at the expense of some temporary issue in your life right now, right? Don't ever give up that. Many people stay married for the sake of saving face. Many people stay married because of their children, right? And this is unhealthy, and this is something that you should avoid. Rather deal with the issues before we get to this point. So my advice to this person who wrote this this question is that focus instead of what you can do, and don't focus on what you can't do, what you can't influence, because you have no control over that. You have no control over how much money you will earn. You have no control over the rain. You have no control over the unseen, the future. You have no control over that. You have only control over your own emotions, over your own resources, and what you can bring to the table and what you can do. So focus on those things. And lastly, always put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make dua to Him. Trust Him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always give you. And Allah says in the Quran, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. And whoever fears Allah, He will make a way out for that person. If you have taqwa, Allah will always give you an out, will always give you a means out of any bad situation. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبَ. And will provide for you from places and means you couldn't have imagined. Subhanallah, once I was in Medina, I told you, when I was married, you know, in Saudi Arabia, in Medina, my allowance was 842. And sometimes that wouldn't be enough. So when I would be in the Prophet's masjid, I would make dua and say, Ya Allah, this is my situation. You know, I wanted to get married. I'm married now. But, you know, we don't have enough money to last until the end of the month for food, etc. And I would make dua, Oh Allah, you know, give us of your rizq and, you know, provide for us. And subhanallah, you know, there's so many examples I can give you. But one day, I'm in the haram and I'm making dua and I'm like, you know, I'm almost desperate that we know that I get money from somewhere, somehow. And I've already asked my parents and my parents can't help me. They're also struggling and it was tough. And so 5 minutes later, the South African man, he sees me there. And, you know, where I was sitting was normally where South African students, you know, would gather. And so he's like, are you from South Africa? I'm like, yeah, you're a student. Oh, mashallah. And we like, we're talking like for 30 minutes. Then as he leaves, he gives me 500 riyals. Right? 500 riyals. And I there's so many times where that happened, but subhanAllah. Right? Don't you trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You work hard. You make sure you put in all the effort. Like you saw that brother there. He wanted a scholarship. You know, he needed a certain GPA. He needed, you know, certain things to happen. And then what did he do? Did he just make dua and hope, you know, that somehow, you know, his 3.07 is going to turn into a 3.85? You know, did he just sit there and hope for it? No. He put in hours and hours of studying and work. And subhanAllah, he is where he is now. You and I have to be the same. Do the work and put the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? That's, you do what you can and leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So when you get married, don't fret too much about those things, but work hard on making your relationship successful inshaAllah. If a Muslim and a non-Muslim like each other, which side should they change their religion? Okay? Valid question. Happens all the time. Right? If I asked you now, how many Muslim Malaysians have left Islam to marry non-Muslim Malaysians or foreigners, would you be able to mention people? Examples? Maybe in Kuantan, but in KL it's so common. Just this week I dealt with a case like that. You know, Chinese brother, and he's Muslim, he accepted Islam a while ago, and he wants to marry a sister from, I can't remember, Japan or Korea or somewhere, but she's not a Muslim. So he's asking me, you know, I really like her, so do I leave Islam or does she become a Muslim? Same question. So obviously the issue is that you give da'wah to that person, right? That person becomes a Muslim. The ayah that we quoted right at the beginning about, you know, why it's not permissible to date, that ayah also includes the permissibility of a Muslim man getting married to a Christian or a Jewish woman. Yes? Are you familiar with that? But there are conditions. Right, there are conditions. Two of them would be that the person is actually Christian. Many people, if I asked you, are all Americans Christian? What would you say? But a lot of people have that perception. They consider the UK and America and Sweden and Germany to be Christian countries. And every person there, not a Muslim, is automatically a Christian. So if someone gets married to Kathy, a Muslim gets married to Kathy, people think, oh, that's fine. But Kathy's an atheist. Right? Kathy is a Buddhist, Kathy is a Hindu. And that is not what the ayah means. The ayah is speaking about a practicing Christian, a real, like a Christian who's practicing their religion. And lastly, that person is chaste. Meaning, that person is not indulging in any haram relations. Right? So if a Muslim man wants to marry a Christian or a Jew, those are the two conditions. But coming back to this question, you give da'wah to that person, you invite that person to Islam. If that person refuses to become a Muslim, doesn't want to become a Muslim, my advice is to move on. Right? I know it's difficult. Wallahi, I've seen this. I've dealt with it. Right? It's difficult. But you will never be successful like that. And you will never be happy. You are either going to have your own personal problems, or you are going to have problems with your family. Right? You're going to have problems with your community, people in your culture. It's always going to weigh on you. It's always going to cause friction between you and that person that you are now with. Okay? So don't do it that way. If you want to be with someone, that person must be Muslim. That person must share your deen, must share your aspirations and your goals. That is going to make a happy marriage. Then, if both sides don't want to change their religion, what should they do? I've already answered that. Why are these questions so long? Can we perform the salah if we... Okay, istikhara. Can I perform the salah if I don't know who I'm going to get married to? Okay. So Salat al-Istikhara is to be made after you have made a decision, not before. That is what general dua is for. So you say, if you don't know anyone, you're not interested in anyone, but you want to get married, this is a general dua. Oh Allah, I want to get married. Oh Allah, grant me a pious husband, you know, that's extremely attractive, you know, that has lots of money, you know, that has excellent character, etc., etc. And the men will make the same dua, very beautiful, etc., etc., etc. Right? That's a general dua. But istikhara is when you have made a decision. So I've met the sister, right? I like everything about her. So now I go and I make dua. I've done the work. I've asked around. I've asked questions. People have given me their advice. And I've decided that, yes, I want to marry Khadija. So now I make istikhara. Istikhara means, listen to the dua. Allahumma, in kana hadha al-amru. Right? And then you mention what it is. Zawaj bi Khadija. Marrying Khadija. Oh Allah, if marrying Khadija, this affair is good for me, then facilitate it for me and make it easy for me and place barakah in it for me. And oh Allah, if it is bad for me and bad for my dunya and for my akhirah, then keep me away from it and it away from me. So what is this? What does this dua tell us? That the decision has already been made, right? Istikhara you make after you've decided. You want to go to IUM, you want to go to another university, you want to, you know, you want to take this job or that job. That's when you make istikhara, after you have chosen. Not when you have 50 options in front of you. Right? You choose something and then you make istikhara. If it is good for you, Allah will facilitate it for you. And if it is bad for you, Allah will keep you away from it and it away from you. Then the next part of the question, we are encouraged to at least have a look at our husband. However, if we look at them first and we feel attracted to him due to looks, wouldn't we be biased in the first place? No, you wouldn't, right? Because if you make istikhara first, you would be neutral and not biased. No, the Sharia wants you to look first, right? The Sharia wants you to look first and then you make a decision. Also, when you go to propose, you already have something in mind, isn't it? When you go to see a sister, especially the brothers here, oh, we didn't cover this. I'll come back again. Can I come back? Right? So, if I come back, when I come back, Allah knows best, they will cover this. But, you know, most of the time, men propose to women, but women can also propose to men. That's fine. What's the proof for this anyway? Khadija, and also a woman in Medina, she came to the Prophet and she said, she basically offered herself in marriage to the Prophet. So the ulama deduced from this the permissibility of a woman proposing to a righteous man. Okay, to a man that she feels is suitable as a husband. That's permissible as well. Not she did it in public, so that's another issue. So there's no secret emails and WhatsApp messages, etc. She did it in public, you know, where everyone could see, and that was that. Okay, so the Sharia wants you to see. Because when you see, you can now proceed. Okay, if you don't know anything about the person, what are you making istikhara for? There's no attraction and there's no mutual feeling. So what are you actually asking for? You understand what I'm saying? Right, so it is better that you see and then you make istikhara. How can I convince the person I want to marry to convince his or her parents to give permission for interracial marriage between us? Okay, like I said, if you are interested in someone, find out if they are interested in you as well. Right? Then immediately move on to step number two. Find out if you can get married. So tell this person that you know, we want to get married. So ask your parents, I'll ask my parents, and then we'll base it on that. If they don't agree, then you move on to step three, which is move on and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to assist you, to help you, and to help you with the, you know, any the heartbreak or heartache or sadness that you might feel because of that, right? But if someone is interested in you and wants to marry you, then if they are genuine about it, they will make the effort to try to convince their parents. Always keep that in mind. Someone who is sincere is not going to string you along. I say that again. A sincere, righteous brother or sister is not going to keep you waiting, not going to keep you guessing, not going to keep you, you know, just, you know, suspended and floating along. Right, because they think that you are interested in them. No, right? Make it very clear what you are interested in. I want to get married. I don't want to play these games. I don't want to drag this out. I want to get married. So be very clear about what it is that you want. Are you convinced? You? Oh man, right? I spoke about this before, but I showed you how you can get, you know, make your parents ready. I'll just summarize it. Make sure you heat the oil first. I'm in a relationship with someone, we both understand that we have to limit communication. But now the thing is, why? Whether you limit the communication or you don't limit the communication, the end result is the same. You are emotionally invested in this person. Right? Whether you send one WhatsApp message a day or one email a week, right? Or you make one phone call, you know, every few days, you are emotionally invested in this person. The ultimate expression of this emotional investment is you're going to find it in marriage. Don't waste time. Right? If you like someone, be with that person. Get married. Right? Why wait? Right? Convince your parents. Speak to who you need to speak to. Why would you torture yourself like that? I'm asking you a genuine question from the bottom of my heart. Allah, I love you all for the sake of Allah. Why would you torture yourself like that? If you like someone, then get married. Then you can be with that person all the time. Right? There'd be no need for sneaking messages around. No need for hiding. No need for, delete messages quickly before your father or your mother sees. Right? Sound familiar? Yes. Unfortunately. Right? So don't live like that. Don't live like that. You don't have to. Right? Don't do that to yourself. Okay? And what is worse than this, when it doesn't work out, right? Then people like myself and others have to counsel you and I have to sit there and watch you cry, right? And talk about how your heart's broken and how you can't make salah and how you can't do this and how you can't eat and how you can't drink. I have a joke for you, but I don't want to spoil the mood now. Right? I just did. What if I just don't want to get married because I can't be committed and responsible, but I have crushes and likes for the opposite sex? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Right, let me think about this one for a moment. This will take deep philosophical thought, my dear brothers and sisters. Right? Then brother or sister, the problem is not with the idea of marriage. It's with you. Right? If you are not ready, get ready. Right? If you don't feel responsible, let me give you this. If you're supposed to write a thesis or a paper and you don't know how to use a keyboard, are you going to learn? You're going to learn, right? If you don't know how to do research, are you going to learn how? Very quickly. If you don't know how to program something very simple, let me give an example. When you get your new phone, your new, you know, Note 3 or S5, you know, only Samsung and Android, yeah? Right? But when you get your new phone and you don't know how to use it, you just say, well, I don't know how to use it. Or do you make the effort to get to know how? You make the effort, right? If you don't think you're responsible, get responsible. If you don't think you're good with money, get good with money. Learn how to budget. Learn how to plan your finances. If you're not good in something, if you're not good in communication, then, you know, do a course. Read a book. Read 5 books. You know, learn. If you have crushes and you like someone, right? You know when people say, you know, I love you. Right? It's a nice word, doesn't it? You like it? It's a nice word, right? Nice to hear. Whether it's from someone, you know, a wife or a husband, or it's a mother or father, we like to hear those words. But imagine now for a moment, a husband tells his wife, I love you. But then he beats her. I mean, really physically abuses her. Is that love? Is that love? No, it's not love, right? So, if you really mean it, then it will show, right? It will show. If you say that you like this person, you have a crush on this person, if you love this person, then you will be everything that person needs in a responsible husband or wife. A loving husband or wife. You're not going to make that excuse all the time. Well, I don't know how to be good with finances. I'm very irresponsible. I'm very forgetful. I'm this, I'm that. No, right? You owe it to yourself and to that person who you claim to like and love, to become the kind of person that that person is worthy of. Right? You know how many times people come to me and say, Sheikh, I'm interested in this girl, she's interested in me, but I'm not going to pursue it because I don't think I'm good enough for her. Then become good enough for her, for goodness sake. Right? What's stopping you? Become good, you know, become someone that she's, that, you know, that someone worthy of her, if you claim that you are not worthy of her yet. Become the kind of person that you think that she deserves. Become that person. What's the problem? Is there anything standing in the way? There's nothing. It's a flimsy excuse, and unfortunately that, you know, we shouldn't be using. How can a girl make her first move? Islamically, of course, right? It's Islamically, of course, you know, this is, you know, I mean, that goes without saying, but I love that it's there. So this happened recently. So yeah, I'll share the advice I gave the person. If you like someone, then find out through a third party if that person is interested in getting married. And secondly, or the other way around, thinks that the same of you, interested in you, or that person has already, you know, how many times, subhanAllah, we have done matchmaking, and I tell the brother, listen, Sister Fatima, she's interested in you. He's like, really? I'm interested in her as well. That's amazing, you know, that solves the problem. Obviously, it's not that easy, and the same goes, you know, vice versa. But if you're interested in someone, then approach that person through a third party, okay? Don't do it directly for the following two reasons. Number one, if it doesn't work out, there'll always be that uncomfortable situation between you and that person, right? And if you do it through a third party, then you have the luxury of it being like this, you know, invisible barrier. Yes, you did ask about it, and yes, they did say no, but at least you didn't do it directly. Do you understand? You didn't speak to that person, because now it's going to be always that, you know, uncomfortable silence. They're always feeling, you know, like that person knows. So I would actually suggest the following, that if you're interested in someone, first question is ask if they are interested in getting married. So let me give you a scenario, a case study, right? So Muhammad wants to marry Khadija. So Muhammad is in the same class with Khadija's friend Fatima. So he says to Fatima, you know, Khadija, has she ever spoken about getting married? Then Fatima says, no, Khadija, actually she's made it very clear that she's only going to get married after she graduates. Okay, no need to ask the second question then. You understand? But if she says yes, that she would like to get married and soon, now you can ask the second question. Second question is, though, you know, would you ask her if, you know, she feels the same about me, or if she's interested in me, etc., X, Y, and Z. This is the first question must be marriage in this regard. Because then you don't set yourself up for the uncomfortable second question. Right? Because if you ask if she's interested first and she says yes, right? And then you ask the second question, which is about marriage, and they say no, then you're basically back to square one. Because now you like someone, and they like you too, but you can't get married. Right? Frustrating, heartbreaking, and could lead to all sorts of other things. Sometimes haram, sometimes not. But most of the time in heartbreak and heartache. How can I get to know someone better before I get to marry her without going over the limits? I will not make the biggest mistake for marrying her. If you approach marriage like this, then I have bad news for you. Right? Like I said throughout the course, any person you marry is not going to be perfect. You are not going to be able to tick off every box where that marriage is concerned. Let me give an example. Many men want to get married to a subservient, obedient, you know, homely wife that cooks and takes care of him, irons his clothing, never raises her voice, never speaks, they don't even have a conversation. She's like a servant, right? A servant who happens to be able to have sexual relations with. That's what it is. Okay? That's what many men want, unfortunately. Right? And so, when they get married, and they get married to a woman like that, and he's educated and she's not, what's the first complaint I get? My wife doesn't read. She doesn't know anything about politics, about the economy. She doesn't speak about... She's not even interested in any Islamic knowledge. She's like this, she's like that. And now, did he find the perfect wife or his version of it? Yes, he did. Is it what he wants now? No, it isn't. And the same goes the other way around, right? I've seen many sisters get married only because of money and looks, right? And because the husband had a certain status. Then later, they find out that he's got bad character, you know, that he lies a lot, that has a massive temper and anger problem, okay? And now, yes, he's extremely handsome, wow, you know, and he's got money, mashallah, right? And he's very intelligent, but he has the character of a pig, okay? So her version of a husband is quite different from the one that she has now. And I'll give you all sorts of different scenarios. I've just used these as examples. So my point being that don't get married with those kinds of expectations, right? Yes, you want to be attracted. Your spouse should be attractive. Your spouse should be, you know, many things that you want. But don't make that the end all of everything, right? So yeah, you want to get to know someone? Ask their friends. Ask their business partners. Ask their family about them, right? That is how you get to know someone. Ask them pertinent questions when you meet for the first time in the company of your father. Ask them, you know, certain questions. What would you do if this happens, right? What if I was walking in the mall and a man that I knew from high school, you know, came up to me and he greeted me? How would you react? Right? What would you do? Right? What if you saw me getting an SMS or a WhatsApp message from an old friend from school? You know, from the opposite sex. Well, how would you react to that? How would you react to the criticism of my mother? If my mother, you know, she put you on the spot one day and she said to you, you know, these things. How would you react to that? Ask questions like that, right? Ask questions like, what if you lost your job? How would you react to that? And how would we live as a couple? Those are the questions you really want to know, because that defines character. Defines the kind of person that, you know, that you are going to marry. Don't ask questions like, you know, so where do you see ourselves 10 years from now? You know, that is a nice question. I like it. You can throw it in there at the end. You know, where do you see yourself 10 years from now? But that doesn't tell you much about the person's character, except that maybe, yes, the person does plan ahead. You know, doesn't tell you the kinds of things that you really want to know. What kind of personality does this person have? Now, a quick, just a side question. Is it permissible that when I want to get married, that I ask my spouse to go for an HIV test and an STD test? Is that permissible? Sexually transmitted diseases? Is that permissible? Do you have that here? You have? Really? In Malaysia? Wow. Wow. I mean, I understand that it's a good thing. I know in South Africa, definitely, you know, it's something that is definitely recommended, no matter how pious the person seems. But I'm a bit shocked, you know. But anyway, I'll get over it, inshallah. So you need to approach this like that. Get to know this person by asking really pertinent, you know, questions about the person's personality, asking people about him and how they interact with others, what happens when they get angry, what happens when they are disappointed, what happens when they are frustrated, those type of questions. Ask their mothers, ask their fathers, brothers and sisters, ask friends, you know, colleagues, etc. You know, and get to know as much about the person like that as possible. Because no matter what, Even if it is done in the most halal way, we are going to show our spouses at the beginning of our marriage only what they want to see. And as we become more and more comfortable with them, then we will show them other aspects of our personality that are not that rosy and polished. So that brings us, are we going to take questions from the audience? Are there more? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. How many more do we have? Ya salam. And why are they essays, man? Right? A question is like one sentence, like, you know, like one, this is like a whole paragraph. You know, there was a question there, it's like, ya salam. And some of this is written in hieroglyphics as well. You know, yes, I am very interested in ancient, you know, Egyptian culture. But this is taking it to another level. Okay, I'm just going to read it to myself first and then just answer it, right? Oh, heavy. Heavy. Okay, let's go. I want to marry someone, right? But I don't feel that I am religious and knowledgeable enough to get married. But this person and I, we have a relationship right now. Okay? But I don't feel I'm ready, right? I don't feel I'm ready. But financially and from the perspective of my parents, they don't have a problem. Okay? But if I break off this relationship now with this person, then by the time I graduate, this person would have gotten married to someone else, probably. So what should I do? I answered this question before. What did I say? What did I say? Then become the person that you feel you need to be. Isn't it so? If you feel you're not knowledgeable enough of Islam, then become more knowledgeable. If you feel you're not responsible enough, then become more responsible. Don't use this as an excuse. Because one of the things that's going to happen in this scenario is, you are going to give this person, you are going to not going to get married to this person, and depending on the amount of emotional investment and attachment that there is already, sometimes people don't move on. And I've seen this more than enough times now. They can't move on. It is easy for me to say, you know, move on. But I have seen people who can't move on. We've given up relations. The one person I know, he wanted to marry the sister. But then he, at the beginning, they were involved, you know, in communicating. And he felt so guilty that he was communicating with his sister in this haram way. You know, via text messages, etc. And then all of a sudden, he just broke off this contact. He just broke it off because of his guilt, you know, that he was doing something haram. Obviously, the sister tried to contact him. He didn't, you know, respond. And then years later, she got married to someone else. But he never got over her. I don't think he's married now. He is my age, 32, 33. Subhanallah. I don't have a problem with you knowing my age, you know. So. We all get old, man. It's not an issue. That's going to happen. Some people like to say, you know, I'm the new 40. He's 50, right? Or the new 30. No, that's unnecessary. If you're getting older, how old are you? 20, mashallah, tabarakallah. Right? I once asked this 8-year-old boy when I was 18, how old do you think I am? He said, uncle, you look 30. If I ask that same boy now, I don't think I want to hear the answer to that one. Right? Anyway, answer that one. So become the person that you think this person that you need to be. Right? For the sake of Allah, and then for the sake of marrying this person. When children are known to be the biggest trials to parents. These questions are asking the wrong, are framing it wrong. Because if you enter into marriage and into parenthood with this kind of perception, it's going to be difficult. Right? If you think that getting married is going to crush your lifestyle, or it's going to slow you down, if you think that having children is going to make you, give you less freedom or give you less time, then don't get married. Don't become a parent. Right? That's my advice to you. Wallahi, children, you know, besides, I said enough good things about marriage, but having children, subhanAllah, what an amazing thing. You know that feeling when you come home at the end of the day, and your kids run to the door shouting, Abi, Abi, and they want to tell you about everything they did the whole day, like you're the most important person that needs to know these things? SubhanAllah. I would give up my whole entire bachelorhood, you know, for 5 or 10 minutes of that. That's the reality. You ask any parent, this is the positive attitude that you need to have. If you are going to have this negative attitude towards marriage and parenthood, it's going to be negative for you. You're only going to find mistakes. You're only going to find stuff that irritate you, that bug you, that make you sad or unhappy. But if you approach it with positivity, if you approach it with a positive mindset and attitude, every time you're with your wife or your husband will be happy. No matter, regardless of what happens, every time that you're with your kids, even when they're throwing tantrums, it's going to be something where you have an opportunity to be a role model. You have an opportunity to be someone, the better person. A few days ago, I posted something on Facebook. I said to the parents that, you know, when your child is throwing a tantrum, don't throw a tantrum too. Just because your kid's going nuts doesn't mean you need to go nuts as well. Right? You the adult, so act like one. You know? You are the one that's an adult. You are the one that's supposed to be the role model. You are the parent. You the mother. You the father. So having children, getting married, wallahi, is a great thing. It's amazing. Okay? And you need to be the kind of person that is going to nurture your children, subhanAllah. You know what? We all want role models for our kids, but the most the biggest influence in their lives, it's you and me, right? As parents. When you become a parent, you become the most important thing in that child's life. You need to be the best example that you can be. Don't think that by sending your children to a madrasa and sending them to a Quran teacher, that's going to mold them. If they don't see Islam, if they don't see good character, if they don't see calmness and gentleness in you, then you can forget about it. They're not going to learn that from other people. Because you are the first point of reference for all of these character traits. Right? So approach marriage and parenthood with a positive mindset, inshallah, and you will be happy, inshallah. Is it better to marry someone you are emotionally attached to rather than the one you are physically attributed to? I think that question is contradictory. Why? There's no such thing as only being physically attracted to someone. Right? There's no such thing. With that comes a whole range of emotions. And subhanAllah, I just saw this clip. It isn't a very halal clip, right? In terms of what they were doing as an experiment, right? Where they just got these strangers to kiss each other. Right? Just mutual strangers, just come into the studio and just kiss. Right? Men and women, women and women, men and men. That's why I say it's not halal. And they were not married, of course. But what they found after the study was that these people, even though they had never met each other until that time, after that physical contact, what did they have? Many of them had an immediate emotional attraction and attachment to that person. Right? And it works both ways. There's no such thing as a physical attraction without any emotions, and no emotional attachment without any physical attachment, especially, or rather obviously in this case, between the two sexes, between men and women. Right? So, do I only get married to someone I'm physically attracted to and not emotionally? No such thing. Right? At least this is my opinion. Okay? So, if you disagree with me, I'm open to that, inshallah. Right? Did I come here and claim I know everything? No, alhamdulillah, it's good. Right. So that's my opinion. Okay, that's how I have seen it, that's how I have studied it, and how I've experienced it, that people have those two things always go together. Right? Even amongst people. Just the fact that you have to be in physical contact with the person, even if people are indulging in haram relationship, there is something about the person deeper than the physical that attracts you to him or her. Okay? It is not only how many times have people been put off by someone they found physically attracted to, and then that person said something or did something or acted in a certain way and they were immediately turned off. Has it happened? It's happened many times. Right? And so there's always a relationship between the two. So marry someone that you... hieroglyphics again. If my husband wants me to do something which is not, doesn't want me to allow do something which is from the deen, I can't read this. What is this? Oh, Qiyamul Layl. Why wouldn't you want your wife to do Qiyamul Layl? SubhanAllah. Why would you? I mean, like, I can understand if a husband tells his wife, listen, I don't think you should be fasting every second day. Right? That's understandable because he has rights, right? Okay, so you can say, listen, I'm not comfortable with you fasting, the Qiyam al-Layl, how does that impact? Anyway, but she said it as an example, because the husband, yeah. So, am I allowed to follow the deen, or do I have to follow what my husband said? Okay. I don't see this as a problem. I see that compromise, firstly, if you marry the person that the Sharia wants you to marry, then I don't see this as a problem arising, but if it does arise, then I think you should compromise. What do I mean? Instead of waking up 2 hours before Fajr, wake up 30 minutes before. Right? Okay, compromise with your husband. If your husband thinks that, 2 hours, he would like to wake you up, he would like to wake his wife up at 3 a.m, because he has a certain need, he doesn't want to have to find her in Salah. Sound familiar? Well, does it make sense? Most of you are not married, so this doesn't sound familiar. But anyway, right? The point I want to make here is that there needs to be compromise, and something you take with you into your marriages, inshallah. Compromise is good, right? You all get what you want, you're all happy, and that's what you want to be happy. So if your husband doesn't want you to get up, for 2 hours before Fajr, then say 1 hour, say a half an hour, you know, compromise on the issue. And then there are things that are compulsory. Like a husband saying, I don't think you should pray so often. What do you mean? You know, like you shouldn't make so much salah, like, you know, this Maghrib and Isha is a bit too much. Just aim for Fajr. Right? I know it's a joke, but if it does happen, make dua that it doesn't. But if it does, you tell your husband no. Okay, this is something compulsory and I must do it. The fasting of the month of Ramadan and many other compulsory acts. Right, so keep that in mind. Is it compulsory for us to ask our parents blessings before we marry someone? No. But in the case of a woman, she needs her father's permission or her guardian's permission, right? Doesn't necessarily mean that he agrees with it, but that he actually marries you off. But now here's an issue. What if there's absolutely no reason for your parents to say no, right? And you want to get married, and let's say your mother is totally against it, but your father says, okay, like in the case of a woman, you know, your father says, no, I don't have a problem, so he marries you to this man, right? But your mother, she hates it. She hates the fact that you got married to this person, and your relationship now is strained. Do you need the blessings of your mother and her happiness before you get married? The answer is no. But would you like it? The answer is yes. Yeah, but you would like your parents to be happy, isn't it? Right? You want your parents to be there on your wedding day, happy, smiling, you know, treating you well, etc. So always strive to achieve that first. But sometimes when parents are unreasonable, especially when they have no Islamic leg to stand on or no practical leg to stand on, then no, you don't need your parents' blessings, you know, but rather make dua for it. Continue to treat your parents well, you know, treat them with kindness, you know, respect them, etc., even though they have given you a hard time. I have heard that the hadith where the Prophet said, nikah is my sunnah, and whoever turns away from my sunnah is not of me. Why would you say that nikah is mustahab? Is the hadith I wrote above sahih or not? Pardon my confusion. Okay, excellent question. So let me put it in perspective. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي. The one who purposefully, intentionally turns away from my sunnah, right? Disregards it, thinks nothing thereof. Okay, not about the person who's made it, saying, I don't want to get married. Not because I don't believe it's sunnah, not because I reject the sunnah, not because I, you know, for any other reason, but that. But the person who intentionally doesn't want to get married because he just, you know, what nonsense is this sunnah and getting married and, you know, it's old fashioned. And that is the person who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about. Man raghiba an sunnati. Right? He has absolutely no interest. Rather, I should use the word, he disregards it. Okay? Turns his back on it completely. That is what the hadith means. Whoever turns away from that sunnah in that way, disregards it and rejects it. Not the one who has made a decision that I don't want to get married. Okay? We've already stated that the default ruling in Islam is that every Muslim, you know, is encouraged to get married. It is recommended that you and I, we get married. But the only time it is sinful is if we fear we will fall into haram or we have rejected the sunnah and we've turned our backs on it. Okay. Another question. No, here's another question. Okay. We met the person we were interested in since the age of 19. But before this, my parents told me that I'm only allowed to marry her either in last year or after I graduate. It's about 5 or 6 years from now. As consequences, I'm afraid to discuss with them. How should I maintain my iman for the next 6 years? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the noble throne, that He protects you and keeps you away from haram, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, that He provides a way out for you, inshaAllah. So, my dear brother or sister, fast, fast, and fast. Fast every second day. Fast the fast of Nabi Dawood. Right? Fast today, break your fast tomorrow, and fast the next day. But seriously though, if you feel you need to get married, if you feel you are going to fall into haram, talk to your parents, and like the way that we discussed earlier, try to convince them to get you married. And inshallah ta'ala, if that doesn't work, then, you know, continue to fast. Always make sure you follow the guidelines. Lower your gaze. Don't be alone with the opposite sex. You know, and try to keep your contact minimum, etc., etc., so that you protect yourselves, inshallah. 6 years is a very long time. You're going to be 25. This is the prime time, you know, of your sexuality. Subhanallah, it's extremely difficult. Okay? And I make dua that, you know, people like the person who wrote that question, never have to face any of those kind of situations ever, inshallah. Right? Even if you're 19 and 20 and you want to get married and you feel you need to get married, may Allah make a way out for you. That's my dua. That Allah make a way out for you, that you get married, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you all happy, you know, successful marriages, inshallah. Okay. The person is under 18 and wants to know how to deal with their feelings and desires for the opposite gender. My advice to you is how we started our workshop today. Try to minimize your contact with the opposite sex, not only in person, but also through television and movies and series and novels and things that you... Because the more that you consume that, the more it will fuel your desire. Okay? The more it will fuel your sexuality, the more it will fuel your desire for the opposite sex. Number two, even if you are under 18, nothing stops you from getting married. Think of it as an option. Okay, I should have mentioned fasting first, right? But marriage is the next option, right? Get married. If you can't get married, then fast. Okay, and also very importantly, number four, talk to people. Talk to your father, your mother, if you can. Unfortunately, we don't always feel we can talk to them. Speak to an uncle that is cool and you can trust. You know, why can't our parents be cool? Don't we always think like that? Why can't I talk to my mother and father about this? But, you know, they're just too old-fashioned. They don't understand these things. Your parents do. But they've made you feel your entire life you can't come to them with these kinds of issues. Your father and mother, they also dealt with the same issues. Right? Isn't it so? They got married, didn't they? Of course. How did they get married? You know? Were they not interested in... When my parents tell me how they got married, I'm like, wow. You know? Parents know. They know. They were in the same boat. Okay? But, this is my advice to you as a teenager. You know, make sure that you protect yourself by protecting what you consume, what you look at. You know, whose company you are in. Try to be in the company of the righteous, the people that are not always talking about boys and girls and about, you know, being dating and all of these type of things. Move away from that. Someone asked me to pray for, you know, MH370. When we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, we find the plane. We make dua that the plane is safe. The people on the plane, you know, are alive and are healthy and safe. And more importantly, one of the reasons why we resonate so deeply with what has happened to this plane, because yes, there are many things happening in the world. There's the Central African Republic, there's Afghanistan, there's Syria, there's poverty right on our doorstep. There are so many things happening in the world. Why is it that we have not resonated with those problems like we have with this? Two reasons. Number one, the media. The second reason is that most of us have flown in a plane. And most of us know what it must have feel or what it feels like, you know. Like when you get delayed, think about this. Have you ever been delayed on a plane? You got there 3 hours after you were supposed to arrive. Weren't your parents or your husband or your wives or whoever was waiting for you very worried? What happened to the plane? Are they okay? You know, did the plane have to make a, you know, all these things go through our minds. You can just imagine the agony of the family waiting, you know, whether it's in KL or in Beijing or wherever else, you know, those people were from. Right? Can you imagine the agony and the anguish? So that's why this resonates with us. That brings us to the end, inshaAllah ta'ala. Again, let me thank you, Jazakumullah khairan, for having me and my family here in your beautiful city. Hopefully, inshaAllah ta'ala, we'll have an opportunity to come and spend time with you again. Barakallahu feekum wa zawajakumullah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.